Maybe.
Join Tim and Christina Madden, co-founders of Executive Career Upgrades, on their podcast, The Executive Career Upgrades Podcast. As an executive in today's highly competitive job market, it can be tough to succeed. However, with Tim's nationally recognized career advice and Christina's mindset expertise, you can reach your full potential. Tune in to upgrade your career and get ahead of the competition.
Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Executive Career Upgrades. It's always a mouthful. Executive Career Upgrades Podcast on this winning Wednesday. We have a very special guest. If you're tuning in on LinkedIn, you'll see her there on the screen. Her name is Maria, and that has also been a mouthful this week. Maldonado, Maria Maldonado Smith. She's joining us to talk about goals and vision and the importance of vision. It's just going to be a beautiful conversation as we move into the second half of the year. Hopefully this conversation inspires you to bring your goals and your vision back to the center, you know, because otherwise, guys, we just become drifters in our life. And so I'm really, really excited to speak with her and unpack some things. And so, Maria, welcome to the show. How are you?
Thank you so much. I'm delighted to be here. Very excited to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, thank you. So, okay, guys. And I think, so Christy will be dropping in the comments also on LinkedIn how you can connect with Maria. Her Instagram will be there and also her website. But listen, I'm a vision board queen. Okay, so everything I've ever achieved came from a vision board. I have them stacked up. It's absolutely wild. I'm going to be 38 and I started this around 27. And I got really obsessed with the book, The Secret, and manifestation and dreaming really big years ago. But tell me about, so you're talking to the right gal over here, but tell me about, like, when did you discover the importance of vision in your own life and how has it impacted your life?
Mm-hmm. It really started at a young age. I wouldn't say that I started vision boarding when I was 8 or 9 years old, but a third grade teacher actually introduced the process of this idea of thinking about our goals. And really the assignment was very simple. It was to just get out a piece of paper and write down 3 goals you wanted to accomplish. Some kids in the class interpreted that as short-term goals, some long-term, some like way big picture goals. I've always been a dreamer, always been an optimist, enthusiast. I'm an Enneagram 7 to like its core. And so for me, I'm a big picture dreamer. I'm someone who thinks like, okay, if I know where I'm headed in the, you know, over the next 10 to 15 to 20 years, I might not have all of the milestones set in place, but I know where I'm headed. So I wrote down three big life goals. I'm the daughter of an immigrant. So education was very important. My father was in the horse racing industry and literally came to this country on the back of a horse. And so that propelled him into citizenship and a 50 plus year career in the horse racing industry. And education was key. I mean, he had the equivalent of an 8th grade education, but was very gifted and skilled at what he was passionate about. However, education was incredibly imperative, important to my parents. So I put that I wanted to graduate from college. The second thing was, I want to be Miss Kentucky because I'd been watching the Miss America pageant with my mom since I was, you know, knee high to a grasshopper. So I knew that I wanted to be Miss Kentucky and compete and represent my home state at Miss America. So I wrote that goal down. And the third one I always say is probably because I was just trying to suck up or like seem smarter to my teacher. I said that I wanted to be a United States Senator, and I have no idea where that came from, only other than the fact that we did watch a lot of C-SPAN in our house because that's how my dad actually learned how to get better at English and learned how to create, I guess, rhetoric and sentences and learn euphemisms and different things through watching lawmakers discuss laws and bills. It did have an influence on my life because I ended up going to college and majoring in political science. And I graduated from the University of Kentucky with my degree in political science. But I mean, if you watched the debate last Thursday, there's no way I want to insert myself into any political process that this country has to offer right now, because we're on the brink of democratic destruction. But that's for a whole other topic, right? That's for a whole other podcast.
It's a conversation for a different day.
Absolutely. So, but we, But I wrote those down. I wrote those goals down, and I did. You know, I accomplished the first one in May of 2004. I graduated from the University of Kentucky, and then the following month, I actually became Miss Kentucky. So I think what that did is throughout my life, from you know the age of like 8 or 9 until 18, going you know leaving high school, going into college, what it did was just cement and solidify the fact that I had kept those three goals written on a post-it note. And I talk often about how a post-it note changed my life, because those three goals were the foundation for what I saw every single day when I woke up, when I was getting ready for school, when I was preparing for a test, when I was looking at myself in the mirror, you know, as a youth or as a teenager, putting on makeup or seeing how I looked in a particular outfit. You know, I'm looking at those three goals and reminding myself constantly. It became a part of my being. It became a fabric of who I was. And it was just to my core. I knew that I was going to accomplish those things. And it went from believing it to like truly visualizing it and seeing it happen. So that when it did, it wasn't as much of a shock to me, because I had been realizing that since I was such a young child. And that's really what the program Executive Vision Imagery seeks to do, is to build that into and incorporate that into our daily lives. Because like you said, manifestation and the power of it, and what we put out into the universe, what we tell ourselves every day, becomes such a part of who we are and how we live out our day to day.
Absolutely. You know, when I talk to clients and they are trying to get clarity on, okay, where am I going in my career? Like, what exactly is the thing? I always tell them, like, it's so like, forget the what and the how first. Understand where it is you want to go and who you have to become in order to get there. And so when you wake up day in and day out and you have these images and these reminders, it does start to become who you are. You start to become that person. You're acting as if it already happened. You're generating the emotions as if it already happened. And it can be a slow process, but once you start doing it, it's almost like automatic in a way. Yes. So some people think that it's, you know, some people think that their vision board has to be perfect, this Pinterest looking thing. And so they never really get started on it. And, you know, it's like the perfectionist type personalities. I'm in recovery for that myself.
Me too. We must be the same cohort.
Yeah, exactly. The same cohort. Yeah. Alumni.
Yes.
But what are some techniques that you might can recommend for somebody who just wants to create something super simple to just get started with this process? Because I know so many people, they're like, yeah, I keep saying I'm going to create my vision board, and they just don't because it feels like it's too big of a project or something. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I come from a creative background. I went to a creative performing arts school from 4th grade to 12th grade. So I always tell people, like, my boards are very aesthetically pleasing. They are, they're just a very aesthetic nature. You know, they just look the way that they look, but that's because of my background and my creativity and my ability to, I think, visualize this throughout this process. This has been what I've been doing though for years. So I also say that too, when you're just getting started, there's a couple things at play. One I say is you have to ask yourself three questions. Like, I always tell people that this is not your average vision board. When I work with corporations, I deal with a lot of people who've never made a board and a lot of people who are skeptical. And so I say, you know what, this really is like vision boarding for skeptics, because I'm actually taking the neuroscience of goal setting and habit formation and connecting and combining it with the power of vision imagery. We know what science says about how powerful visualization and visual images are to our brain and how we put them at play when we align them with our goals. So it's really taking something that people think oftentimes is cringy or woo, or I don't even know how to get started. And then they start to see, oh my goodness, I get it now. Like, it clicks. All I have to do is I take my goal. I got to do the pre-work first. I got to ask myself questions. I have an 85-page workbook that I take them through over the course of a workshop. And we work through this 5-step process so that by the time they make their board, it gives them the confidence because they know what they're looking for. So often when we make boards, we do it with friends. We're just hanging out. We're kind of just like, we're kind of waiting for the images to come to us, instead of saying, I'm going to create the roadmap through the goals that I want to accomplish, because we typically know what we want. And if we don't, that's where I say you start. What is it that you want? What do you want in this life? And from a basic level of, I want to order this salad and eat this for lunch, to I want to write a book and go on a speaking tour. Like, I mean, it literally runs the gamut of just understanding and being able to articulate what it is you want. The second thing is, who do you want to become? You touched on it earlier. You know, I think so often we place the wrong emphasis with young children around, you know, what do you want to be when you grow up? Instead, I'm focused on, who do you want to become? Because if you're a good person, if you treat people with kindness and respect, I always say I'm raising good humans. You know, I might not raise the next CEO of a corporation, but they're going to be really dang good kids. And so that's what I want to focus on, is who do I want to become? But then as you shift and shape that for your business or how you want to approach your professional career, it then starts to become, who do I want to become? Well, I think I want to become CEO, or I think I want to become president of this company, or I want to become VP of this sales organization. Now you start to embody the who as, hey, I've already become this like wonderful, well-rounded human being and individual. And now I know that I want to take that into the next role that I want to achieve.
Yeah.
And then the third thing is, what do I want to create? Because everyone wants to create something. And it's not that we have to innovate, patent new patents for technology. I think sometimes we get bogged down by this idea of like, well, I don't really have an idea to create anything, because we're thinking in the tangible. Our lives can be created. We can create them for ourselves, whether that is, you know, being more mindful, being more minimalistic. You know, we can create an environment that is peaceful, that is lived out with intention. So those are some things that I help people cross over the barriers of, because those are things sometimes that get in our way when we think about making a vision board. We're like, oh, I don't even know if I can go there, because we haven't done the steps to get there. So that's why it's so daunting when you open a magazine. You're like, I don't know what I'm looking for. Every word is sticking out to me. Every word's resonating, because I'm making everything a priority, because I think that this has to be some monumental shift in my life. And that the fact of the matter is that actually with the vision boards that I do, we're really taking like, what can we accomplish within a 3 to 6 to 9 to 12 month term? And then however those images are, I have had corporate attendees with 5 images on their board. I've had some with 50 images on their board. I've had people cover every square inch of their board, and some break it down into quadrants and say, okay, this is going to be my Q1 goal, 2, 3, 4. And they just have one image that represents each. There is no wrong way to vision board other than not doing one.
Mm-hmm. So where do you think that limiting beliefs come into play with this? So when let's just like play out the example that you're in a room and you've got a handful of people. Do you ever see people like second guessing what they are going to put on their vision board or what they're capable of because of limited thinking? I mean, I know that sounds like, duh, Christina, we all struggle with that sometimes. Yeah. But how have you seen that play out? And what do you recommend for people? Because I saw on your website, you said, never stop dreaming. So what that says to me is think bigger always, right? Go 10x, go 10x or go home. But how have you seen that play out? And what are some success stories with navigating, or a success story with navigating a limited mindset and then building out this huge vision?
So often with self-limiting beliefs, it's typically because, well, one, we have fear. I mean, so fear prevents us from doing so much in our life, right? I mean, it's why we don't do things. But fear can also be a good thing. It can propel us into action. And so I try to flip that narrative and script on its head and say, you know, but what's the result of not doing this? And maybe that fear is what's going to push you forward. In my workshops, I talk a lot about why people fail at goals, because I think it's something that we need to uncover and consistently talk about, because it's not that we are failures. It's that we typically didn't design a process or a system that was successful that allowed us to be successful, that created a path for that. So we create all these big monumental goals. It was actually a meta-analysis done of over 99 studies. I think it was 99 studies. And what they determined was 92% of people fail at their New Year's resolutions. 62% give up within the first month. And only 8% make it all the way through to the end. And so I question my, you know, this is the kind of those breakout sessions within the workshop. Why do we think people fail? And everyone's raising hands. And I'm like, you're all right. Because within the footnotes, within the variables of all of these studies, what they found was we make the goals way too big. We try to accomplish way too much at one time. So we put so much pressure on ourselves to be successful too quickly. We see it in everything from losing weight to a reading goal to climbing the corporate ladder. It literally runs the gamut on every single goal that we would outline for ourselves. We're not giving ourselves enough time. We're not being patient with ourselves to have setbacks and actually bake in the fact that we're probably going to have times where we will take two or three steps back before we move forward again. We overwhelm ourselves with too many goals. We walk into a new year or to a new fiscal year or to a new corporate, you know, goal setting session. And we think, all right, we're going to accomplish 10 things. And the participants in my workshop, they focus on three. They focus on three things. We metabolize things in threes so much easier. Think about a to-do list that you have. Once you start getting past three, you're in 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Now you're overwhelmed. Now you're tapped out. You're like, just looking at the list exhausts you. And that's because actually science tells us, you know, in design, in media, that's why so much is broken down into threes, because that's how our brain typically aligns and works better for us to understand the information. We have to do the same with our goals. If I'm working on a personal goal, I can only work on one at one time. Because if I'm trying to work on too many, I'm getting overwhelmed. I'm getting confused. I'm giving up easily, because it's hard to maintain that on top of the life that I'm also living and trying to lead.
Exactly. I was just looking for my day planner on this side, the Success Unveiled day planner. Christy will probably drop that in the links, but that's why, and many of our listeners have this inside it. It says top three priorities for the day. And then maybe you have a list of things you're avoiding as well.
Yes.
Top three. But yeah. As you're talking, like, it just continues to bring up the question that I'm always asking, and it's just a little in left field here, but when we write down these goals and we're so focused on the goals and then we always feel like we're failing because we're just not there yet, or too much time passes and we haven't done it yet. It just brings me back to the who, like, who do we have to become? Because if I want to build XYZ amount of muscle and lose, and I'm talking about myself here because I have this muscle fat goal thing, but like, what are the behaviors now of that person that's doing that? What are the habits? What is their morning routine like? Or somebody that's maybe a VP at a large organization and they're looking to break into the C-suite at a small organization, and you know, you'll need to be able to influence people and build teams and influence the culture and all the things that go into that. It's like, who is that person? Like, what are they doing every day? We talk about that all the time here. And so sometimes I think that that's why there's such a disconnect between who we are now and why we can't achieve the goal on the vision board. Do you have anything to add to that?
So much. I'm actually thinking, where do I begin? And I always say that, so I'm a mom of three, and that's just a big piece of who I am. And so a lot of my goals have to align with also being a full-time mom who's juggling a full-time career, building a business, working with corporations. I work with a lot of other people. I sometimes put them first than myself. It's something that I will talk often about, because I'm just very real that there are days that my goals take a back seat because I'm focused on other people's goals and helping them reach them. I think when it comes to our big goals and feeling, there's two things at play. I think especially with women, there's a worthiness piece and this desire to understand or to convince ourselves that we are worth the goals and the dreams that we have. Especially when we become moms, that pivots, that starts to take a different approach just in our everyday life, because now it becomes about them and how we mitigate that. And then I would say the second thing is just like not giving ourselves enough grace. So I think there's like that worthiness piece kind of combined with the grace, and that's for men and women, honestly. I mean, I've worked with just as many men who have said that, you know, they just feel like right now they need to be kind of hunkered down into their corporate career, supporting their family. And like, you know, 10, 15 years from now is when they'll go do X. And I'm like, but why not now? Like, you're worth it right now. Like, you're not going to be any more worth it in 10, 15 years from now than you are right now at this moment. And the beauty is, if you model an example that for your kids, now they're seeing a very well-rounded, healthier version of their dad or their mom chasing their personal dreams alongside their professional dreams. But step five of my process is building positive habits. And how do we do that? Because I just to me, building habits is a lifelong process. I think sometimes we use it in corporate speak so often to say, oh, how many days does it take to make a habit? 21, 28 days, whatever. That is such bull. It is a lifetime because listen, our brain is really smart and really capable of doing what we want it to do. So I can do something for 30 days, 65 days, 100 days. And on day 101, I can decide that I want to stop doing that. And my brain's probably going to help me. It's probably going to be like, okay, cool. Like you did it. You accomplished the goal. Great. That's why when health professionals talk about it being a lifestyle, that's what they mean. They mean that it's not all or nothing every single day for 100 days. It's consistency over the rest of your life because building habits are hard. It's discipline. It's consistency. It's frustrating. It's uncomfortable. We are literally rewiring our brains to create new neural networks for us to make room for the uncomfortable to get into this new habit. So when we do those things, it's not easy. And so that's typically those moments when we catch ourselves saying, maybe I should give up because maybe I'm not really worth it. And, you know, maybe I'm not giving myself enough grace because I should have been able to do this. We have to get out of that speak and that mindset. I have a dear friend who wrote a book and she had talked about this actually on my podcast. And she said, you know, the should haves are what is just drowning us. Like I should have done this by this time. Who says your goal needs to only take 6 months? It could take 5 years. Who cares? Like it's your goal. It's personal to you. It's what's going to make you a better version of you. I don't have a timeline for that. I mean, I'm constantly evolving. My mind might change through that process and I might be a year into that goal and say, you know what? I actually don't think that this goal is working for me or I want this anymore. Now I get to redirect. And so when we combine that worthiness, that grace aspect with building out those positive habits and sticking to like the consistency and the discipline to get there, the goal becomes less and less important.
Exactly. If anybody was ever wondering why Tim named his book Discipline Equals Dream Job, that is why, my friends. It's the discipline over the long term, which kind of brings me to my next question, which is how can companies maintain the momentum and keep their visions alive long term? So now we're talking about overcoming obstacles and adversity and staying committed. So just really quickly, over at ECU, we talk a lot about using your career as a vehicle to reach your goals. Really, your career can be nothing more or less than that. If you've identified your personal, professional, financial goals, your career or your business is now going to be the vehicle to reach those things. Mm-hmm. We don't have to be tying every bit of our worth up into it and dragging all of our emotions into it. We want to use it as a vehicle, right? Mm-hmm. So, but how can companies help? Okay, so like, let's say like what we do, right? Which is we sit down and we do a PPF goal setting session, personal, professional, financial, because I want to know, because I want to make sure that this vehicle is the right vehicle for you to reach your goals over the long term. But how do I help, like, if I were to work with you, how would I help a employee keep their vision alive long term and overcome the adversity and obstacles?
A couple things. One, when clients work with me, whether that's a small business, a large corporation, or an individual, we have monthly touch points. Sometimes more than that, just depending on the needs of the organization and what they're working to achieve. If I'm trying to build team cohesion and truly align a team with team goals, and also then like a team aspect and then a personal professional aspect individually, it's going to be a little bit more involved and more enhanced. But if I'm doing a workshop, I'm typically following up at least at minimum for 3 months post workshop. One of the things I took from my corporate career was we have these big, massive meetings. We have these great aha, like rah, rah, rah. Let's, you know, applaud the year. Let's talk about the goals that we achieved. But there's no true individual alignment that gets trickled down and funneled down to like the individual sitting in the audience that says, wow, I was $1 million a part of that. You can take your own time and do that. But I think as leaders, because we're so focused on the profits and moving the business, we forget about the people aspect of it. So the obstacles then become like, how am I really tied? I think we saw that during the Great Resignation because people felt so disaligned with what their organization was doing. It didn't feel, they felt like they weren't valuable or they didn't matter or the work they were doing wasn't meaningful and wasn't adding up to the bigger picture. But we have these great meetings and then we all go away. And within 2 days, I mean, within 2 hours, let's be real, we've gotten the information. No one cares anymore. We're back to normal. Like I said, because it takes discipline. It takes a true refocus of what am I going to do differently in order to achieve these goals or in order to be better. But if we're not taught how to do those things, well, then we just go back to our old ways because we say, well, I did good enough or I got here this year. I guess I'll just continue to replicate that instead of figuring out or being shown how to be led differently or to lead your team differently. So this, it's a lot of work. I mean, it's involved, but it's talking about everything. It's not just the goals, but it's the components around the goals. It's setting boundaries. It's time management. It's assertive communication. It's conflict resolution. You know, it's organization and productivity. I mean, so much of it is just, are you even organized? And so often, I remember getting into reps' cars and being like, okay, it was interesting. The ones who were like incredibly pristine, you could tell they'd had their car detailed the day before. And then the one who's got stuff everywhere, you know? And typically how that ended up playing out was the one that had everything together was the one who had their business in alignment, had everything, you know, organized in their business. And the one that didn't was sometimes, you know, a little disheveled in all areas of their life. So I'm not saying we have to be perfect human beings, but it does go to that idea of if we're going to overcome obstacles, it helps when we start to mirror that in every aspect of our life. And then that goes back to the, who do I want to become? You know, if I'm wanting to become that next level, then I need to start acting like that. And that typically means I'm going to have to change behavior.
Yeah. I also think it's a question of how bought in on the mission are you? Like, It's like mission over everything. So if you aren't super aligned with the organization's mission, from what I've seen with working with thousands of professionals, it will be very difficult over the long term to be aligned with the values and where you're headed. Therefore, you're not willing to create the new person to use the vehicle to reach the goals, right? There's all these moving parts, you know? And so for those of you who are listening, maybe think about like, what is your life's mission? And then think about your role in the company that you're in, or for much of our audience, the role that you're now targeting, right? So a lot of people are in a job search that are listening. But so when you are, I'm going to switch gears here. Yeah. When you are spending all day empowering others and giving, and so many of our listeners do, whether that be, you mentioned you're a mom of three. Did you say three?
Three. Yeah. 16, 14, and 7. Yeah.
Superhero. I have one. I stopped at one. So all hail to the mothers of multiples. But so you're giving as a mother and you're giving as a leader and entrepreneur and you're really giving in quite a way, right? With helping others create a vision and empowering others. I know because I do it too. But what do you do to rest and recharge and recenter on your own vision and your own energy? Mm-hmm.
So it's a forced action. I mean, it's something that I have to sometimes force myself to do because I enjoy empowering and hyping up other people that I can allow myself to become consumed with, you know what? I know I could revisit, and it's so funny that you say this because I just actually was looking at this yesterday because this is my workbook that I've been filling out. And I was revisiting it yesterday to go back to what were my goals. We do this as a family as well, and we might not hit the mark every single month, but our goal is to check in with our kids every month. We have a massive board where we translate all of our goals from our big vision board workshop that we do with the family at the beginning of the year onto a big board. It stays in our laundry room. We kind of check off things as they happen. You know, we've got our family vacation coming up. That one's going to be, you know, check marked there. We've taken a couple trips already, celebrated some milestones with our kids. So those are the things that bring me back to remembering that I have three young humans that I'm trying to model this behavior for. So if I am not setting the example of revisiting my own goals and looking at those, tweaking them, reworking them, figuring out how I want to evolve through my own process, then it's really hard for me then to tell them, hey, you need to work on your goals. Mm-hmm. So that's really honestly, my kids and my family are what bring me back to recentering and getting refocused is typically having that conversation with them. It just ignites that passion and fire in me again to be like, oh, it's time for me as mom now to look at my goals.
Yeah. What do you guys do to celebrate when you're checking off your vision items?
Yeah. So we have another section because that's also part, I mean, that's part of the process too, is I talk about celebrating the small wins. And it's one of the questions I asked in the accountability and planning portion is, how are you going to celebrate your success? Because we don't often do that. And so for us, it's like, you know, movie nights and dinners out and, you know, like the end of the school year happened. We had an eighth grader who graduated. He's headed off to high school. And so we, you know, went out as a family to celebrate him because he's getting ready to go into another chapter of his life. He also we do milestone trips for our kids. So at the end of 5th, 8th, and 12th grade, they each get a trip with individually with us, as you know, just the three of us. And it's a great way to kind of share in their success with them and to let them know, like, hey, you worked hard all through elementary school, all through middle school, and now this is the reward. So we did that trip with our son a little bit before he graduated, but we knew he was a straight A student. So we knew he was going to, you know,
you weren't like on the edge, like of your seat.
Right.
Got it. Amazing. So can you share with me a little bit about your journey of becoming Chief Empowerment Officer at MMS Consulting?
Yes. So I always say that this was, it had happened to me. It was something that I never expected. I really thought that I would be in a corporate career until I was of retirement age. And that's just kind of what I always thought, just assumed. And I would either climb the ladder or I would find a spot that I just really loved and stay there and build a team and build a career out of that. So yes, I ended up using my career as the vehicle to start my own company, because I took all of that leadership experience, all the sales experience, all of the team development, all of the personal development that I did internally within the corporation. And then primarily I did way more externally on my own to improve who I was and to become the kind of person and leader that I wanted to be. But it really happened quite interestingly. I share this too when I speak with women's empowerment groups or even on college campuses with organizations. I will say that it was a moment that happened on a bridge in Scotland where it was kind of the last straw. I think it was one of those things where my first kind of like moment where I thought, maybe this isn't for me, actually happened on a plane that I thought was going to go down.
Oh my god.
One of those like scary flight stories. And you know, sending the text to my husband, like, I don't know what's gonna happen. Like, they're asking us to pray, like, this is not looking good. And wow. Then only to have it, you know, be turned around and we were fine. And within five more minutes, like, everything was good, and we did an emergency landing, everything was fine. But still, that was probably the first moment. Then I would say the last was leading up to that Virgin Sky Scotland in 2019. My husband and I just recently relocated to South Florida, and we were on a trip to visit London and some friends who lived in Scotland. And I just had this like overwhelming feeling. I can explain it, but then I can't. It was just this knowing that my time in that corporate environment was coming to an end. I knew it, and I knew that I needed to leave. I knew that it wasn't serving me anymore. I knew that it wasn't my people or my place anymore, but I wasn't sure how I was going to get there. And so I always share that because I tell people that just because I set goals doesn't mean that I have all the answers. Just because I have a process that I know works doesn't mean that I have it all figured out. We are evolving human beings every single day. We are working through our own processes. But if we create and design systems to set ourselves up for success, we can get there. And that's essentially what I did. I relied on my tribe. I started asking people, what do you see me doing? You know, people that I trusted too, that I knew if I asked them, like, I could trust their opinion. You know, I wasn't just asking anyone, any random person. I picked, you know, three or four women who I really trusted and reached out to them, had lengthy, you know, phone conversations with them to discuss potential opportunities and also to seek their support. And then what I found was through that, it got me more comfortable with asking for help, and it increased my confidence level that if I were to do something about, you know, a new career path, that it would be met with, I guess, you know, that level of success that I was desiring. And then the universe, you know, I always say gifted us the pandemic. I say that lightly because I understand fully that it was not a gift for many people who lost their lives, but I think it was a great reset for so many people to say, what am I doing with my life? What is it that I want? What do I want?
And maybe a lot of people did start asking themselves mm-hmm. that question.
Yes. Yeah. And so that's really when that happened. That gift, I took it and I ran with it. And I said, okay, well, now that I'm home, now that I'm in my home and I have the opportunity to think a little bit more and I'm not, you know, just waking up every day kind of aimlessly going through those motions, you know, getting kids here, doing this, going, you know, going out in the field and then coming home, you know, copy, paste, repeat. I have a little bit more time to sit with my thoughts, to think about what it is I want to do. And I utilized that time and I built out the infrastructure for what would become MMS Consulting Firm. So that's really how I got here. And I just always wanted to empower people. I wanted to gift people the joy of their own passion and purpose. And that's what I'm continue to be guided by.
I love that. And, you know, it takes a certain level of strength to, like, when you get that knowingness, it takes a certain level of strength and willingness to navigate a lot of fear with change, right? So some people, they know that the job they're in, they shouldn't be there anymore, that it's not serving them, that it is toxic, it's not fun, and it certainly isn't helping them reach their personal goals, and they get stuck and they stay. And so I encourage anyone that's listening that if you have that like knowingness and you're like right there, to have the strength to begin thinking differently and navigating fear. We know fear's not going anywhere. It's funny, I wrote this book, The Fearless Executive, and I basically opened it up with the spoiler alert, like it doesn't actually exist. Fear doesn't actually go away, unfortunately. Right. But so good for you. I want to touch on one thing before we go, which is sort of like the neuroscience thing that you touched on earlier. I like to dream and sort of meditate and drift and take the images, you know, that are from my vision board and let them just kind of float in my mind, and I'll just be drifting. And it's almost like everything's happening. Like I'm on the private jet, I'm in the yacht, I'm in Italy. Yes, if you guys want to have a peek into my brain, like that's what's happening. Okay.
We have a lot of the same dreams.
Okay.
I'm on the yacht too with you.
So. But okay. Then I'm like, who do we have to become? Like, we're getting somewhere. But, and I also had a mentor of mine recently talking about this, and he's like a billionaire, obviously created massive things in his life. And he's done this over the years, right? Where he's just like, I was just there. Like, I knew it was happening. I knew it was going to happen. I believed it. There was the belief there. But can we talk a little bit about how this works for you? Like the neuroscience part of the imagery in your mind.
Yeah. Well, so two things are at play. I mean, we're creating frequency illusion and frequency bias, but when you actually put visual images on a board, when you see a visual image, you're activating a part of your brain, the reticular activating system, which creates like a funnel for information. I talk about this a lot with youth, with collegians, especially because we are glued to our phones these days, and even work professionals as well, because, you know, screen time notifications, when it tells you how, you know, how long you've spent on your screen, right? It's scary sometimes to admit that. But I was telling you, 3.2 billion images get uploaded online every single day. Over 720,000 hours of video content are uploaded every single day. And honestly, I'm sure that statistic from 3-4 months ago is probably increasing by the minute. The more and more people that, you know, get online and the more images that are uploaded, et cetera, the more platforms we have access to. The reason that's important is because think about that. Most people would admit to waking up in the morning and immediately starting to check email and start scrolling. All of those words and images are doing something to us. They are starting to compound our ability to, and really impact negatively our ability to see our own goals. So when you spend time, 3 to 5 minutes or a couple minutes as you're getting ready, if you're looking at your board every single morning, that's why I say to all my participants, you have to put it somewhere where you're going to see it daily, not every other day or not, you know, every third day or every, you know, the first Tuesday of every month. Like it has to be somewhere. If you need to take multiple pictures of it, make it your screensaver, put it in your house, you know, print a copy of it, you know, and stick it at work so it's constantly in front of you. Because now what you're doing is creating your own informational funnel. You're creating mm-hmm. your own bias and illusion towards the images that you want to see, which is now becomes your reminder from the universe as to how and why you wanted to accomplish those goals. It is wild. I always tell people, you got to trust me with this, but I use also a little bit of science. It's called the red car theory. I spent a lot of time in the automotive industry, so I use analogies a lot related to GPS and our direction in life. And I tie in a lot of those analogies to my talks and to my corporate workshops. But the red car theory essentially says, you know, we go and purchase a car, okay, say a red car, we'll just use that for example. You know, we purchase a red Range Rover, and now all of a sudden, what are we seeing on the road when we drive off the lot? We're seeing Range Rovers. They don't have to be red, but we're noticing now the car, we're noticing the outline, because there's things that have stuck out to us, because now that's entered our realm and our sphere of knowledge. It's in that information funnel. We've activated that part of our brain that says, now I'm on the lookout for all of the Range Rovers on the road. Well, if we do that with our goals, now we're priming ourselves to see those goals or see clues and triggers out in the world that have a positive impact on the way in which we achieve and accomplish our goals. So that's where the neuroscience comes in. You know, we're also encoding, we're creating external storage through the process of executive vision imagery. There's just so much at play. And I think the sharing the power of it from a neuroscience perspective is really cool, because now people start to see, okay, this isn't as like wooey and cringy as I might've originally thought. And now, you know, my more like logical, practical, like I need to see the results kind of people are like, okay, now you're bringing me in. You're winning me over slowly.
Yeah, because it's hard to deny that when that starts happening, right? And to take that even a step further, what if Maria told you, hey, in the next hour, I'll give you $1 million if you can find a red Range Rover? Like, you're going to find the red Range Rover. Like, yes, you're going to do it. You're going to become that person really, really fast, right? Especially if maybe you were over in Fort Lauderdale, we could find one probably pretty easy, right?
Pretty easy, yes.
That's like the land of the Range Rover.
I just have to step out my front door and my neighbor has one. So
that's funny.
That's what made me think of it.
This is funny because the same mentor that I was just talking about uses the red Ferrari story. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so interesting. And if you guys notice, this goes into the boundary part of the conversation as well. What she's saying, you know, when you wake up in the morning and the first thing you do is open up your phone and something triggers you in not so great of a way. Like this morning, I forget exactly what it was. I'm surprised, but it was something to do with a mother and her child and whatever. It was kind of just this like very sad thing. And while I love our platforms to be able to support each other, it took me down a pretty dark path pretty fast. I'm second guessing like my own safety, because thoughts generate emotions and emotions generate actions. And so if I want to stay in control of my emotions and my actions, then I have to be careful of what I'm absorbing, because that's going to lead me to thoughts, right? And we already have to fight for a positive. I feel like defaulting to a positive mindset is a practice, and some of us have to fight to be able to do that. And so if you find yourself scrolling too much, or certain content is triggering to you, maybe it is like religious or political or all the news, the media, the headlines, that will so quickly take you off track from these goals. And this is where the boundaries come from, and protecting your mind and protecting your eyes and your energy. I'm sure that we could talk about that all day.
No, I love that. And I say that especially to my kids, because I always tell them, you know, something my best friend shared with me a long time ago when her daughter was born is, you know, she was like, how do I protect her from things that, you know, I don't want her to see? And then I think we started having this conversation, and then eventually, you know, she's like, I can't protect them from things that they see. But what I can do is educate them as to why they shouldn't. So as a way to insulate them, you know. And so because she's like, I can't help them unsee it. You know, she's like, once it's there, it's there. So what I can do is kind of create those like mitigating tools to figure out, okay, you know, you've seen it now, but now how do we pivot? How do we redirect? And I think where that really comes into play, especially with our teens on social media, is so much of this influencer culture and feeling not enough and not worthy, and I'm not skinny enough and I'm not pretty enough, and I need to, you know, now you've got teens asking for, you know, cosmetic, like, you know, Botox and fillers and stuff like that. And it's like, whoa, 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 whoa. It just, it compounds into something where it can become extremely negative. So if we can, yeah, educate our kids on why there's beauty in social media for the empowerment piece of it. And absolutely, I send memes all the time to my friends that are funny and uplifting and all of the things. But there is that side of it that, yeah, we can't unsee the things that we've unseen. So that impacts our day. And now that affects how we go out into the world and accomplish our goals or think about our ability to accomplish our goals.
Exactly. My husband thought I was kind of extreme a few years ago when I just completely stopped and quit watching like scary movies, violent movies. And maybe that's after becoming a mom. I don't know. Just everything changed and shifted for me. I can't.
I'm the same.
Because yeah. It makes me feel something I don't want to feel. And so for those of you that this like resonates for you or resonates with you, protect yourself and your energy field and implement those boundaries. And that goes for relationships. You guys hear me, you know, preach about that all the time.
Yeah.
I literally could have this conversation all day long, but I also want to
same.
And so Maria, if we have a lot of corporate leaders listening, how would someone go about, well, we have your link in the content or in the comment section here to connect with you, but how would an organization go about booking your services? And do you go out on site or is it all on Zoom or what, how do you do that?
No, I do in person and I do virtual. I really, really prefer the actual workshop and the full, you know, kind of the full day, half day. I curate and customize whatever to your organization's needs because I understand time. Sometimes is our biggest friend and enemy in when it comes to these processes. But I really love to do that piece in person. And then all the follow-up can be done virtually and via Google Docs and trackers and all kinds of things. But the best way for them to reach me is, I mean, visit my website, but email me maria@mmsconsultingfirm.com and email me and let's chat about working with your team. If you're looking for, you know, engaging ways to interact with your team members, to get them to open up, to share, to get to know them a little bit better in an environment that supports that, you know, I'm solution oriented, very problem solving oriented. My focus is really to help each individual understand why they're showing up every day to work for your organization. You know, why they're there, and then to build and, like I said, gift, you know, the organization and the individual that passion and joy for why they're doing what they're doing.
That's so powerful.
Instagram, LinkedIn, all that too, as well.
So now you guys hear about me talking. You hear me talking about this all the time, and you guys probably think I'm woo-woo and out there. But hopefully, what you guys took from this conversation is some very tangible information that you can use in your goal setting process in your career. And Maria, we will see you next time.
Yes. Thank you so much, Christina. So I love that I've met a kindred spirit and we will be on that yacht together in Italy.
Two visions are stronger than one.
That's right. Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.